it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
This is Anything But Footy, the Olympic and Paralympic podcast, covering the games all the time rather than once every 4 years. I'm John.
And I'm Michael, and we're taking a quick break from being en route to Paris for this special episode because we are focusing on another multi-sport event. We're talking Commonwealth Games.
I do think that it is kind of dying out a little bit, unfortunately, but I don't get many opportunities to compete for Scotland. And I've always really enjoyed all my experiences of competing.
Scotland's world triathlon champion Beth Potter, who's off to Paris for Team GB, but also, of course, enjoyed her competitions in the Scotland kit.
Yeah, remember in Birmingham at Sutton Park, Beth Potter winning Scotland's first medal of the Games. Now, it's been a fortnight since a Friday morning media release revealed that it was Scotland who might step in to stage the 2026 Commonwealth Games. That is, if the Commonwealth Games Federation can't find a viable alternative and they've set themselves a deadline, which is May.
So we wanted to find out a bit more. And coming up, we'll hear from the man behind the bid, hear about the venues, the sports, and the cost.
You know, for a lot of sports, this is their big major championship. That this is the event. They know that the stadiums and the arenas will be full. So, a huge amount of positivity and support for what we're trying to do, what the Federation are trying to do, and all of them offering their help and getting there.
We've been talking about what the future of the Commonwealth Games might look like, what the new Commonwealth Games might feel like. And thank you for all your comments on what sports you think should be on the schedule.
And stay with us and see what we're all about anytime. You can follow Anything But Footy on all the usual social media platforms or check out our website, anythingbutfooty.com. So it was July last year, July 2023, and in the middle of the night, UK time, the news that Victoria was pulling out of hosting the 2026 Commonwealth Games. It was supposed to be the first regional games, but it soon became apparent, despite the promises of low costs, that there really wasn't the venues and there really wasn't the will to put it on anymore. Australia was out.
And after, no doubt, much wrangling between lawyers and all the stakeholders involved, Victoria was forced to cough up some cash for cancelling. And with no further interest from any Commonwealth nation or territory to stage it in 2026, the Commonwealth Games Federation offered up their bounty, £100 million in total, for a potential host. No, said Malaysia. Still a no from them. Before a statement last month said there were some interested parties, and a decision, as we've mentioned, would be made in May.
Now, we knew the UK government wasn't bidding for it after stepping in to cover the 2022 Games in Birmingham. I talked to UK Sport about it earlier this year when they revealed when they were bidding for the Women's Football World Cup, the World Athletics Championships and the Tour de France in the years to come, that the Commonwealth Games was not on their list.
So the UK has hosted the Commonwealth Games 3 out of the last 6 occasions. And actually, when we hosted in Birmingham in 2022, a fantastic event, that time was the UK stepping in for when the event couldn't be hosted somewhere else. And so it feels to us like now is the right time for the Commonwealth Games Federation to really take stock and look at the model that sits behind the Commonwealth Games. And to be fair to them, they are doing that already, and that work is ongoing. So I think from our perspective, we would really want to see the vision for a more sustainable Commonwealth Games into the future before we put it on this list. That said, we are open-minded towards that. We really hope that the CGF find a solution, because it would be an awful shame if the Commonwealth Games weren't to be hosted again.
Simon Morton, Deputy CEO of UK Sport, on why the Commonwealth Games wasn't on their bid list.
And then fast forward to Friday the 12th of April, when a statement from Team Scotland dropped into our inbox around about 7 o'clock in the morning. It caught us a little bit by surprise. As it was for me when I was on holiday, when Victoria pulled out, John was on holiday for this one. But the statement said, Commonwealth Games Scotland can confirm the development of an innovative concept that could provide a solution for the 2026 Commonwealth Games without the need for significant public investment. So no need for UK Sport to put some cash in the bank, if you like. So in effect, the Games potentially back on. Now, a feasibility study has taken place that started in December last year, and Scotland hosted in 2014 in Glasgow, Edinburgh hosted in 1970 and 1986, and they said, Commonwealth Games Scotland, they said they were satisfied that a new concept could see a refreshed format for the Games delivered on time and within that budget, there or thereabouts, providing a benefit to the Scottish economy and, importantly, a potential blueprint for a sustainable Games of the future. So if the Commonwealth Games Federation doesn't find a new bid for the Games in 2026, and maybe Scotland's statement might smoke someone out, Scotland will step in and host them. And when we say Scotland, it will definitely be centred around Glasgow again.
And that £100 million from the Commonwealth Games Federation would certainly come in handy, of course. So the plan that Michael was talking about included a significantly reduced budget costing between 130 and 150 million, no asking for public funds, a core sport programme of 10 to 13 sports, a minimum of 10, including athletics and swimming. They are non-negotiable, they are mandatory, and a use of existing sports venues and accommodation options as well, rather than building an athlete's village and rather than developing other purpose-built facilities. So this prompted lots of conversations about how and where and what sports could be included. And thank you, as Michael said earlier, to all of you who got in touch with us on social media and told us what you wanted. Squash, lawn bowls and netball, because they're not Olympic sports. They were some of the three that came straight through, although I did point out that squash would be in the 2028 LA Games, but they were the first three that a lot of people said.
Cycling, hockey, boxing, 3x3 basketball. I think that one came from John.
It was.
We did say a mix of para events too. We really wanted to see the continuation of it being an integrated event. And of course, triathlon. Strathclyde Country Park was the host venue for 2014 in Glasgow. So let's hear from Scottish triathlete. Also, we'll be representing Team GB in Paris this summer. Here's Beth Potter.
Birmingham was supposed to be hosted in South Africa, and obviously with Victoria pulling out of the 2026 Games and Scotland offering to host them, I think it's difficult. I do think that it is maybe kind of dying out a little bit, unfortunately, but I've always really enjoyed competing from... I don't get many opportunities to compete for Scotland, and I've always really enjoyed all my experiences of, you know, competing for Scotland at Commonwealth Games. You know, I've done it in track and field, and also in triathlon, and also two at the same time. So I've got many fond memories, and, you know, I took home a bronze medal last time. So, yeah, it's just whether there's enough, you know, nations wanting to host it.
And how much would you welcome the opportunity to potentially compete at Strathclyde Country Park if they do the same thing that they did in 2014 in Glasgow and represent Scotland and see that saltire flying high?
Yeah, I think it'd be great. You know, actually, it was one of my favourite races, competing in front of a home crowd at the Hampden Park on the 10K. So I'm always keen to race in front of a Scottish crowd, and I have raced that course at at Strathclyde Park. Didn't go so well for me. It was very early days in triathlon, and I wasn't super fit on you know, across bike, swim and run. So yeah, I'd be interested to have another go at it and see how I fare.
World triathlon champion Beth Potter. So that's more, all those sports that we've talked about, that's more than a minimum of eight, because as I say, athletics and swimming are mandatory. So we thought, we've got to find out. We've got to know what they are planning.
Yeah, I went back to the man who is behind the bid. He now chairs Commonwealth Games Scotland. His name is Ian Reid. We got to know him when he was the chief executive of Birmingham 2022. Before that, he was the chief finance officer of Glasgow 2014. So he knows the Commonwealth Games, knows what it takes to deliver a good Commonwealth Games, probably better than anyone, of course. He does have some experience, and he did reveal their hand to me quite significantly.
For Scottish sport, the Commonwealth Games is hugely important. It's a critical part of our infrastructure. It's a significant pathway. It's one of the few events a lot of our athletes can wear that saltire on their jersey, so to speak. So we as Commonwealth Games Scotland, you know, we're really invested in making sure there is a Games in 26. So I suppose the only thing we can control in doing that is to see what we could put on here in Scotland. So we've come up with a concept, four venues within an 8 mile radius in the city centre, or just outside the city centre, I should say, looking at putting on somewhere, we've said, between 10 and 13 sports. We've got some really high quality venues. They're multi-purpose. And then also looking at trying to get an accommodation solution for athletes within that perimeter as well. We think we've got something that's very viable, really exciting for the city. And we've now put it in front of the Federation. They are saying to us they've got a couple of other options. Again, back to that original point, we are delighted if the Games goes anywhere and is hosted significantly well. So we're sitting waiting to hear. If there isn't another viable option, then we're waiting in the wings, and we've already done a lot of work that I think we can mobilise quickly if we're given the nod.
You mentioned four venues there. We know that in terms of the Commonwealth Games, we need athletics, we need swimming, and then 8 to 11 sports up for grabs. What can you tell us about the decisions on those venues, what you've earmarked, and what other sports you might be able to bring in?
Yeah, I don't think I'm breaching confidences, because I think people would probably be able to work out the majority of those venues. But, you know, Tollcross is an existing aquatics centre, hosts world championships, hosted the Commonwealth Games in 14, Europeans in 18, etc. So tried and tested event, aquatics would go in there. We're looking at the flexibility of the SEC campus, again, a huge host for 2014. And we could probably fit 6 to 7 sports in between all the venues on the river there. The Emirates Arena as well, it's quite clear that's, again, another legacy from 2014, world-class track cycling venue, but also multi-sport halls across the precinct in that venue. And then finally, athletics has been our challenge. We've done a lot of work at this on this. At the moment, we're looking at probably a solution in Scotstoun, which would create at least 10,000 seats, really compact venue, really good atmosphere, we think. And that, again, is very close to that SEC complex and the other venues as well. So that's the footprint we're looking at. We've not yet locked down the other sports. We think it's absolutely right we engage with the international federations and the national federations to give them the opportunity to effectively put their offer to us. And we'll look at those offers as well as a multitude of other variables, including the cost to put on, the athlete experience, Scottish success, etc., etc. So if we're given the nod from the CGF, we've got a process that we can press a button on quite quickly on that, and we'll then select another 8 sports, the only criteria being at the moment that they will be able to fit into that existing venue footprint.
And I guess people might have to get used to the fact that if the Games are going to go ahead at short notice in 2026, in a way, we're going to have to accept it's going to be a compromise Commonwealth Games. There might not be an athlete's village. There might not be a huge opening ceremony, for example, because those things cost money, and big money.
Yeah, so look, I think the first thing to say is, and back to that point I made earlier, like we're not trying with this to compromise on the special stardust that comes with the Commonwealth Games. We still think we can recreate that and give the athletes an incredible experience, but we might have to think a little bit differently about how we do it. And I think the multi-sport world, most events are in that place anyway. This is perhaps just a catalyst to accelerate change that the Commonwealth Games would have to have taken on anyway. So you know, we'll still put a reasonable amount of money aside for an opening ceremony, for example, but we might do it a bit differently. It might be a little bit more innovative, and we've got some amazing companies in Scotland who can help us with that. Again, we didn't have, as you'll recall, a traditional single athlete village in Birmingham. We used existing accommodation post the COVID challenges. It worked incredibly well. The athlete experience was still strong. Our athlete surveys suggest that they didn't lose much from that. We're going to try and create that kind of campus feel with athlete accommodation again so that they still have that ability to mix with other athletes. So we think we've got some solutions from that perspective as well. And as I said, we'll invest in terms of that, that field of play, that spectator experience, that sports presentation side. We'll still invest heavily in that to make sure that if you come along with your family, you'll still have that amazing sporting Commonwealth Games experience.
We knew that you had a huge role in the success of Glasgow 2014 as Chief Financial Officer there, Chief Exec in Birmingham. Does the Commonwealth Games bring financial advantages to the cities and the regions that host it?
Yeah, I mean, there has recently been the legacy and economic report published for Birmingham, similarly for Glasgow, and they show a multiple of the money invested. So normally 1.5 to 2 times the money invested in those events has been created as economic benefit for the city. And, you know, when you look in the case of both Birmingham and Glasgow, some of that funding, or the majority of that funding, has come from central government. So that's a big investment into a specific part of the country. So Birmingham, you know, we were down there just a couple of weeks ago for the Sport Accord Convention. The city's still buzzing from that event, and everybody continues to speak very positively about it. This is different, however. I mean, we are proposing a Games that is using effectively private money. We're not asking for public funding, so the return is automatically there. We will be spending a lot of money on a Scottish supply chain, on a Scottish workforce, booking Scottish hotels or student accommodation, booking Scottish venues, and hopefully then with the spectators, and we'll have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of tickets, we'll be filling Scottish pubs, Scottish restaurants, making the city centre in Glasgow, you know, a real feeling of a buzz again that we had back in 2014. So for me, there's a huge economic upside to this as well as a sporting upside. And you know, the economic return has to be there because there's no public investment underlying it.
And if Glasgow does step in for 2026, have you saved the future of the Commonwealth Games going forward because you've reset that price point? We know that other host cities aren't necessarily going to get 100 million from the CGF, but what they might see is what they could do for 100 million if they were willing to invest it themselves.
Yeah, I think that point's incredibly important. And if you speak to the Commonwealth Games Federation, that's exactly what they would say. But there's a huge appetite for them to take the Games beyond the UK, Australia, flipping that we've seen over the last few years. I know they've been engaging recently in Africa. They went over to the African Games and engaged with some countries there who had an appetite. And I can only think this would help. If we can do something really special for a much reduced budget than has previously been the case, then hopefully it opens that door to attract much more countries to pick up the baton, so to speak. I mean, I'm a huge advocate for it. As you said, I've been working on these events now for nearly 20 years, and I've seen how they can change cities. So, you know, I'm very much behind being a catalyst, if we can, for some of that future expansion of the Games.
Because we have a new king, of course, now, don't we? And I guess the new king wouldn't want his legacy to be, in the first few years of his reign, the end of an event which was so important to his family and his mother as well.
Yeah, indeed. And you know, I was lucky enough to be introduced to him when he visited Birmingham for the opening ceremony, and he was so incredibly positive about the event and the city. So I know he will have very, very good memories of that, and we'll want that to continue. They're huge, the whole royal family are huge supporters of the Commonwealth. And I think probably the Games is the biggest manifestation of it, where, you know, all the countries come together. So as well as a king, we've as a vice patron is the Duke of Edinburgh, and he's been hugely supportive as well. So yeah, they I'm sure will want to make sure that we secure a host for 26 and the future.
If it doesn't happen in 2026, and it does sound to me like it will in some shape or form, does the Commonwealth Games then risk just losing its place on the calendar, and it would be so hard to get that back?
Yeah, I think missing a cycle would be a real challenge. That's just my personal view. I know the Federation would look to ensure that they kind of secure a 2030 host if it gets to that point, and perhaps do other activity in the intervening period. But, you know, as you rightly say, you've got a place in the calendar, you've got sports engaged, and the danger is people go and engage in other events or something new. But I mean, we engaged with all the international federations a couple of weeks ago again down in Birmingham. They're still hugely positive. You know, for a lot of sports, this is their big major championship. That this is the event. They know that the stadiums and the arenas will be full. So, yeah, a huge amount of positivity and support for what we're trying to do, what the Federation are trying to do, and all of them offering their help and getting there.
Does that mean for sports, for example, like netball, that don't have an Olympic stage, and squash hasn't had an Olympic stage up to now, you will work as hard as you can to try and get them on the programme?
They are two sports that are definitely on the list and could be held in the venues that we're talking about. So, yeah, I'm sure they'll put forward strong business cases, and we'll look and see how they compare with others, yeah.
And your gut feeling that we might be looking at Glasgow 2026?
Yeah, look, we've been really encouraged by the positive response. You know, I've had a lot of messages with people saying it feels like a good idea. The city's got great experience, both from a personnel perspective, but also from the venues and how to host within the city. So perhaps we can step forward. I think there's an absolute possibility that it will come back to Glasgow. But as I say, as long as we secure somewhere for 26, then we'll be delighted.
Ian, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Michael talking to Ian Reid, chair of Team Scotland, or Commonwealth Games Scotland, to give them their official title. So some of the headlines that I'm taking from that: four venues within an 8-mile radius, athletics at Scotstoune with crowds of 10,000, swimming at Toll Cross in Glasgow, the Emirates Arena in use, the SECC on the Clyde would host between 6 and 7 sports between them, no athletes' village, but there would be an opening ceremony, which of course pleased Michael no end, I would have thought.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a really sensible proposal from Ian Reid. And I don't think we would expect anything else from Ian Reid. Now, you can read more about this on our website today, anythingbutfooty.com. I've been blogging quite extensively about this. But I think what we needed to do was not look at what the ideal Commonwealth Games would be and then build the venues and attach the venues to it. I think what they've done is they've looked at what they've got and then said to the Commonwealth Games Federation, well, this is what we can do with what we've got.
So I think we'll leave the last words to the Commonwealth Games Federation, because we can carry on talking about how it would work, but ultimately they need to make the decision. Significant progress, they say, has been made, and we're excited in the early concepts, which aim to reset and reframe the Commonwealth Games. We're now working collaboratively with the relevant Commonwealth Games associations to undertake further detailed assessments and aim to announce the 2026 Commonwealth Games hosts in May. What we do know is that Scotland is on standby, and we'll find out in May.
Very quickly, John, gut feeling, back to Glasgow in 2026?
Yes.
You can find us across all the social media platforms. Didn't sound utterly convincing, but I think we got there in the end. You can search for Anything But Footy. You can read our latest blogs, and the latest one on there is all about the Commonwealth Games. More of my thoughts on that. Follow my conversation with Ian Reid. The 2024 sporting calendar's online as well, anythingbutfooty.com. And do stay with us. We'll have the latest on the Commonwealth Games. It is an event we're passionate about. And stay with us as well as we're en route to Paris 2024 and the Olympic and the Paralympic Games.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.